We're ready to go.
Whenever you are.
We're ready to go. Welcome back, boys and girls. Have a nice time listening to this. I doubt you will, but just give it a shot. Welcome to another edition of Political QRN.
Hell have you been?
I have been sick.
I know.
Those of us, those of you out there who follow, know that I have some pretty significant autoimmune issues, fibromyalgia, central pain syndrome, and a couple of other. Basically, what it boils down to is doctors not knowing what the hell else to call it syndrome. So I've got that, and on occasion, you go into what are known as flare-ups, and basically just lay there. Being racked with pain, and eventually you come out of it, and I'm on my way out of it. It's been probably 3-4 weeks.
Ouch.
So, but I'm getting better all the time.
You sound good. You look good.
Yeah, I do. I feel, you know, if you were to have walked in the door, you know, with malice aforethought 2 weeks ago, I probably couldn't have even raised a gun and shot you. But today, don't try.
So if I had gone to your house and started, you know, digging out a 6x6 plot, you know,
if the dogs didn't get you, the wife
Debbie would. She's a good shot, so yes, she would indeed.
Oh yes, as a matter of fact, she is, and she's going to get even better and better and better. As a matter of fact, my brother will be up this weekend, and we do have a range day scheduled.
All right.
So, we're going to have a good time.
Good.
And then we're going to have a lasagna, and then we're going to have by the way, with handmade by me brochot, and
of course, you can't do it any other way. You have to do it homemade. You can't buy brochot.
No, you can't buy brochot.
It's a family thing.
Like, you can't buy meat, but, you know, you can't go down to the store and buy these bags of frozen meat substitute spheres and put them in front of an Italian and have them do anything but, you know, retch.
True.
You know?
That's true.
You just can't do it. So between some of my own peppers and my own brochot and Al's lasagna, we should be in pretty darn good shape.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, and 2 nights of singing karaoke involved.
What time should I be there?
Whatever time you walk in the door, because, you know, it's not like we can't converse about stuff and then eat and then sit and converse about stuff and then eat and then, you know.
That's the way my family does it, too. I mean,
you sit there and you eat 7 courses, of Italian food, Americani food, all this other food. And then you sit around, talk a little bit of black coffee, with a little anisette and some biscotti, and then an hour later, it's like, you're getting ready to leave. Before you go, have a little sandwich. Come
that's
on, have
right.
a little sandwich.
Yeah, have a little something, yeah.
And,
sure.
I actually borrowed that from an Italian comedian known as Lou Baccalà Carri.
Really?
Yeah. He's hysterical.
I'll have to look him up.
Yeah, look up. He's hysterical. Anyway.
Wait a minute. Just one more thing, though, about Italians. You ever notice that it takes Italians about an hour to say goodbye?
Yeah, and the definite, if it you does. Look in a dictionary under deaf mute, it's an Italian with handcuffs on. So.
God, you got me on that one.
Well, you know what they call 3 Italians in the same room?
What?
Conspiracy.
Oh, my God. Okay. Woo!
It's okay. You can hit your own gang, folks. You can hit your own gang. You know, Myron Cohen can hit Jewish guys.
Exactly.
Bill Cosby can hit black guys.
That's right. And we're hitting our own here.
It's okay.
So, since we have been gone, because to tell you the truth, Lou was not the only one who was not in shape to do a podcast, believe me, although I did try on my own a few times. Yeah, but so much has gone on since then. And tell you the truth, Lou, I missed you. I couldn't, you know, get it out there. Oh, you didn't miss me. What are you kidding? That's funny.
The thing is, like, hey. Not the cheat. Anyway, the I actually did try a couple of times to use Microsoft Speech Recognition to type up a couple of entries for political QRM, but it had difficulty with recognition. I don't understand it. You know, maybe it's because they key it to people who have an accent, and since I don't. You know, it just wouldn't recognize things
It would probably recognize me.
Well, no, because you don't have an accent either.
Oh, you mean like a foreign accent?
No, I mean an accent, because, you know, you and I, we don't have one.
Oh,
it's
God.
The rest of the world that
does. That's true. That's
people say it to me all the time, oh, it's that accent of yours. I ain't got an accent.
I don't have an accent. Do you know, that's a funny thing, because when I was in college, I was in my linguistic class, and the professor kept insisting that I had an accent, and I kept telling him I didn't.
Yeah.
And wait a minute. What's even better is that one of my friends took the same class, all right, the following session and semester. And and the thing was is that he told the story about the fact that I had a student that said she did not have an accent, and my friend just blurted out my name, Anne Marie. And he goes, oh my gosh, that's right! So, you know. Okay.
So anyway, all right, so let's pick up where we were at whatever the cue mark was. Just to propagate the notion. We'll get to some current events in a minute. As many people know that have listened to us before, I've described myself as a constitutional moderate, constructionist, a foundationist, that kind of a thing. And I have followed the Constitution of the United States as well as some Christians believe in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I believe in the Constitution. Not that I don't believe in the Bible, but I believe in the Constitution literally as the
law of the land,
inspired word of our founders.
That's right.
And literal inspired word of our founders, and that's how I've felt about it for some time. So I've tried as best I could to describe that attitude. In past writings and essays, and even here on the podcast. And it hit me a few weeks ago that what I actually was a Democratic Republican.
Okay. In what way?
The party of Adams and Jefferson, some of our founders. People insist on not going to heritage.org or not going to Federalist Papers. And reading the documents that not only led up to the Declaration of Independence, but led up to the Constitution, the formation of the states, the formation of the central government.
Right.
And in that regard, I have narrowed it down to the point where that's where I believe I fit, because I believe in the limitation of government.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the power of the states, and then, you know, following the chain all the way down, to the individual citizen. And that's where I fall. And I believe, as we've mentioned before, that tea is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And tea is going to cost us more elections than it could ever hope to. Oh, yeah, it might get your mayor elected. You know, it might get your, county executive elected. It may get your freeholders elected. You know, it might even get, some of your state assembly people, state senates and places like that elected. You know, it might even go so far as to get a U.S. representative elected, but it's not going to win us majorities in the House, the Senate, or even the big chair. It's not going to get us Supreme Court judges. It's not going to get us anywhere. And the reason and rationale of this, the nexus of this is the fact that the mainstream media, in its infinite wisdom, has poisoned the tea. You know, after the original Tea Party in 1773, had you pulled those casks of tea out of the bay, the harbor in Boston, and made tea with it, it wouldn't be very good.
No, it'd be very weak.
And not only very weak, but it'd be very salty.
That's true, salty. I forgot about that.
It would be undrinkable. Well, you know what? The mainstream media and the Democrat machine has done the same thing to the tea in the last 5, 8, 10 years. You can't drink it anymore. And not only can't you drink it anymore, but you can't make anyone else drink it anymore.
It's getting very difficult for the Tea Party people to get a hold on things, because I've heard out there, I mean, I listen to a lot of talk shows from Rush to Mark Levin, to, you know, Sean Hannity.
And all the way down to people like over here in Maine, Ray
Even
Richardson.
Howie Carr. Yeah. And coming out of Boston, and invariably, every so often pops up a person that says the Tea Party has to change their name. They have to get more, become more cohesive. They have to.
I think they should just plain dismantle it and start over, because anything that anyone can point to saying, "Oh, Tea Party," is out. It's done.
Yeah,
it's over.
Yeah, it has become toxic. You're right. I have to agree with that. Some people don't. You know.
I believe the Democratic Republican Party. Now, is something that could work in the fact that it did work. And remember, the Republican Party at one point was the third party. The Democratic Republican Party was the standing party. And then the Republican Party came along as a matter of dissent. And unfortunately, well, fortunately, at points in our history, it worked. But unfortunately, it's ceased to work. People keep insisting, and I mean people, all the way up to people you mentioned, Rush and, you know, Sean and all these other people. You know, people keep insisting, oh, whatever happened to the Democrat Party of JFK? You know, whatever happened to the Republican Party of Reagan? Well, I think that the GOP has lost its way. The elephant is wandering around the jungle having no idea where it wants to go. And it's walking along a path, and sometimes it goes a path to the left, and sometimes it goes a path to the right, but it never just charges through the jungle the way a Republican elephant should have.
That's true.
And I think the Democrat donkey is just too stubborn at this point to be pulled in any direction.
Well, don't forget, the Democrats have been taken over by the socialists slash communists.
The socialists slash communists, Marxists.
Yes.
You know,
they have.
And again, I know you disagree with me here, but all the way down to Trotsky. You know,
What do you mean? I don't disagree with you about Trotsky. Trotsky, you know.
So anyway, but the idea of the collective as opposed to the individual is anathema.
To America.
To America, to conservatives.
Yes,
to,
it is. And I don't disagree with you on
been,
that.
It should have been anathema to the elephant.
Exactly. No, I agree with you on that.
And you, people can go to Political QRM and read my Requiem for the GOP, and that was, what, 08?
Oh, wow.
I wrote that, you know, and I think the symbol shouldn't be a teabag. I think the symbol should be a lion. Rampant garden lion.
That
you know,
sounds
on
good.
A field of red, white, and blue, you know.
How about the eagle? I mean, why can't we go with the eagle?
Well, you know what? Why can't we go with the eagle? It's too trite.
Okay.
I think it's too trite, and I think we'd be painted as co-opting the eagle. And, you know, Benjamin Franklin had problems with the eagle, too.
He did. He wanted a turkey.
So, well, you know, hey, at that point,
legend goes.
Yeah. Let's say the lion, as I said, rampant garden, and, you know, we're here, we're upset, and we're looking at you.
Exactly. I like that. I like that idea. Jeez.
You know, and
Let me ask you a question. You and I have spoken about this before, and you said that, and you have written it in a column, but I really want you to expound on it. How do you think, if there is to be a third party, that people who want to form a third party should go about it?
Well, this is where I had issues just before we came online. In the fact that I'm just one little, you know, old Italian guy in the Lakes region of Maine. this needs to be proffered, and anyone listening needs to, and I'm not going to compose some boilerplate email like some of these other places, you know, click here to send this to your representative. I'm not going to go through that trouble. No. One of the problems we have faced as conservatives, Republicans, whichever moniker you care, is the fact that we're busy, we don't have time, we don't want to roll our sleeves up, and then even if we get someone to roll our sleeves up, they don't want to get their hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the problem is, we're facing people on the opposition that not only don't mind getting dirty, they don't mind rolling around in the mud.
That's right.
Yeah. But we don't want to get our shoes dirty. And that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. You know, I mean, when we look back at our history, and we look to places like the Bulge, Verdun, Bunker Hill, you know, Valley Forge, these men and women were not only not afraid of getting dirty, they went right down in there face first.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what it's going to take. Of course, we don't want that. You know, we want that. But how can we get that in front of people that have the ear of more than, I don't know, what have we had at any given time? 2 dozen people? You know, I'm sure we get visited by others, but 2 dozen people?
Mm-hmm.
These are issues that people need to say, gee, you know what, Lou? It took all these years, but you're finally right.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think that you have the best plan for forming a third party. I really do. I mean,
I think it takes rolling up your sleeves, turn off, you know, whatever it is that the media is feeding you with a spoon, and sit down, and instead of sending an email to your, you know, husband, wife, son, daughter, mom, dad, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, buddies, you know, gal pals, instead of sending an email with little, you know, puppies and kittens or, you know, whatever, sit down and compose an email to people with an ear and with a mouth.
Yes, but you pointed out one way to do this. And if one was to form a third party, you basically have a third party formed already, then announce yourself. I mean, you had mentioned getting all these people together. I mean, these, you know, conservative people who believe in the Constitution and America, and have them come out and say, we have formed a third party. And through them, people would be drawn to it.
Actually, what I would prefer them to do is I would prefer them to get together.
That's what it is.
And instead of saying, we have formed a third party, turn around and say, we've gone back to one of the original 2 or 3.
There you go. Yeah.
We're not forming another party. We're going back to one that worked for the formation of this union.
That's right. Yes.
We're not starting anything. We're going back to the days when you mattered.
See, that's the thing. It's very difficult for one person to say, I'm running as a third-party candidate. And it gets us nowhere.
And then you get lumped in with John Anderson and Ross Perot.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you know, you go.
Ralph Nader, God rest our souls.
Rest our souls.
Whoever's on the Communist Workers Party and, you know, CPUSA and all that other stuff.
Well, actually, wasn't Barack Obama on the Communist Party? Wasn't he their candidate, too, last time?
Yes, yes, he was. He was nominated by them as well as
the Democrats. Yeah.
Well, it's a thing. There's a line there that was kind of blurry to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
But the idea is that it's something that's going to require work. It's something that's going to require dedication. It's going to require perseverance. It's going to require, you know, it's going to require gathering people with ears and mouths.
The thing is here is that you have this wonderful idea, and I completely back you up in it, and I agree with it. But you know what? There is such an attitude in Congress in which these people believe that they know more than you and I do.
Oh, sure. Just, you know, look at the man with the gavel.
Exactly. And oh, geez, don't start. Oh, please. And the thing is, would they take us seriously? Oh, I don't know. Gee, one person who used to work for one of the intelligence agencies and another person who was airborne, right? Am I right? Correct in that? Yes.
Oh, Let's just say you don't even have to mention airborne. You don't even have to mention any of that. So just a proud American veteran. Yeah,
well, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, they want the you know.
No, I'll leave that for other people. I'm just a proud American citizen who's a veteran of the United States Army.
Veteran, okay. But the thing is, it's like, so they think that they know better than we do. And I don't think so, homie. I really don't.
The idea isn't whether they do or they don't know better than
but
we do.
But those that we want in this party, they have to be willing to listen to people like
that's
you.
That's what I said, ears and mouths. Those who have an ear to hear. You know, need to.
And heck, send it to Ted Cruz.
Well, we can send it to Ted Cruz. We can send it to Alan West. We can send it to.
Alan West? Yeah. He's another one.
You know, a lot of these folks. But we need more. You know, look, if this caught on between now and 2016, which I'm desperate to hope that it would, I wouldn't be surprised if the candidate would be Alan West.
I would love for it to be Alan West because he is a man. Conviction. I don't know. I mean, that man is the man you want as president because you know why? He loves America.
A spokesperson being someone on the order of, however, I don't believe Sarah Palin would be the right person. I think as well as the Kool-Aid on the left has done to them, I think the tea has done to her.
That's possible.
Don't get me wrong. I love the woman dearly. I think she's just the one of the shining stars in our recent past. But I don't think she's up to the task. I think she'd keep reverting back to the T. And I'll explain this in a second. Here we go. I had a query from someone who you know online who happens to be a Catholic bishop saying, do you have a platform? And I said, no. I don't. I'm postulating one as we speak. Here's my platform. Take America back to the Constitution of the United States of America. Period. Oh, well, what about this issue? Don't worry about it. Well, what about that issue? Don't worry about it. What about the next issue? Don't worry about it. What do you mean don't worry about it? How can you run and not have these litmus tests? Because those litmus tests belong in the hand of the individual. Not in Congress, not in the Senate, and not in the big chair.
That's right.
No, not on the nine chairs. Those issues belong in the hands of the people. In other words, and, you know, we're going to get letters. I don't care about gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about abortion. I don't care. And it's not, listen, it's, you know me. You know it's not that I don't care. You know I care, and I care deeply.
I know you do.
You know, what I care about is the fact that it's none of their business. You know, for years and years and years, we heard the mantra from the left, keep government out of the bedroom. Keep government out of my body. Keep government. But now here that the tables are turned, we say keep government out of our bedroom, or we say keep government out of my body, oh, no. See, now you're just some sort of caveman, some Stone Age Neanderthal, Cro-Magnon, you know.
You're right. Oh, my gosh. That's another column for you, Lou.
That's how it works. If you happen to be a homosexual and you happen to have someone that you've been living with and someone you want to dedicate your life with and all this other stuff, that's none of my business. And I'm not taking a libertarian stance here saying you should have the right. No, I'm saying it's not even something we have to pass a law for or against. It's none of our business.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If you have an unwanted pregnancy, I love this. The mantra of the left is keep the government out of my body. Well, wait a minute.
Then why am
your body,
giving money?
Yeah. But the one inside you ain't yours. The one inside you is someone else's.
Well, the thing is that then why do I have to, if the government, then why is the money that I send to the government have to be handed over to you to either get an abortion or pay for birth control? Why is that?
But here's the gig. If you do want to get an abortion, or you don't want to get an abortion, it's none of my business.
That's right. It's your responsibility, no matter what. You know,
no, I'm not saying I'm not saying that we should turn around, and because this is where the GOP, the elephant, has gotten in trouble in the past. People want to broad brush the side of that elephant with a poster that says, we want to throw the children in the street. We want to throw the elderly in the street. Of course, the Republican Party, in its favor, has never decided to come up with death tribunals for elderly Americans.
That's true. But you know what? The Republican Party hasn't done anything to counteract these charges.
That's right. Well, the Republican Party doesn't really do much to counteract anything.
No, they're all
cowards.
And
that's why we're ticked off. Let me explain real quick, because I've used the expression several times. That's why the lion is rampant and guardant. These are heraldic terms. The lion rampant means it's standing up with its claws out in front of it, ready to tear something up. The lion guardant means it is facing, its face is facing you. We're looking at you. Here's looking at you, kid. Okay? The lion doesn't care. The lion will provide for its pride, yes. But the lion isn't going to face it. Look at a pride of lions. Well, you know what? If you're going to listen to this and then go watch a National Geographic special, pick one out about lions. Because the pride of lions goes out and hunts, and the matriarch goes out and she leads the lionesses. And yes, I used the female plural. You know, out on the plain, and they tear down a wildebeest, and the male comes over and they bite it and they tear at it and they kill it and, right, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, you think if there's a bunch of lions sitting back at the clearing over there underneath the acacia tree that haven't gone out in the hunt, you think they're eating any of that wildebeest? You're kidding yourself.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying that we have to turn around and throw these kids in the street, but here's a novel concept that we used to have in the old days. Orphanages.
No, I agree. I agree. There are many children out there that should not be with the parents that they're with. Number one.
Yes, we have a very nice foster care program in this country. It's so nice that people go to China or Ethiopia.
Well,
or
the
Ghana
foster care system,
children,
I think, has gone the way of, I don't know, the workhouses of Great Britain, because
they do that. Well, that's the thing. Why don't we have?
A lot of these people, no, wait a minute, a lot of these people that are foster parents, quote-unquote, they wind up killing the kids. Or
there is no reason whatsoever, none, zero, zip, zilch, nada, forget about it. There is no reason in this country, I don't suppose we're the richest anymore, but we're in the top few-ish. There is no reason why I should be able to go down to Portland to go shopping at one of the stores there, whether it's along Marginal Way, Commercial Street, or wherever, you know, and I should have to see a fellow with the hair the color of mine, the beard the color of mine, and the old M65 field jacket sitting there with festering sores on his leg and a cup out in front of him. None.
Yeah, no, I agree.
None. And there's no reason why we should look in the paper and see that some, you know, crack mama, killed, you know, they found a couple of her kids dead in a closet, duct taped together. Yeah. There's no reason whatsoever why there should be a YouTube video of a woman saying, I've got 11 children by 9 men. Somebody needs to pay for my babies.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
There's no reason why we should be facing down unemployment to the tune we are because businesses are being so set upon in this country. If anything about the last 8 years has smacked sweetly of collectivism, it's the destruction of the enterprise machine that has powered this nation since 17 God knows what.
Exactly. No, you're right.
This country wasn't founded and started and run you know, with the pedal down, you know, and the clutch out, you know, by collectivists.
No. As a matter of fact,
when
the pilgrims came here, the first year that they were here, they almost all died because they all decided to use a collectivism type
and
of system.
And Jamestown didn't make it at all.
That's right. But then Governor Bradford decided that decided that everybody was going to be responsible for their own piece of land and their own food. And guess what? They had a harvest. They had an absolute fantastic harvest, and they had, you know, so it's like, you know, they almost died. Collectivism does not work. Even in the Soviet Union, it did not work.
And some people, some anthropologists, have gone so far as to say that the point where we left being hunter-gatherers to stationary agrarian societies was the downfall of man. I'm not sure that that's true.
I can't agree with that so much because...
But, you know, the thing is, there are still supposed to, no matter how much grain you grow, and no matter how much bread you bake or beer you brew, there still have to be some people in your community that go out and hunt.
True. That's true, yes.
You still have people out there bringing home deer or muskox or yak or, you know, llama, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, bison. You know, there's still a bunch of guys out there who that's what they do. They go out and they bring home meat and they cook it and put it on the plate, give you some meat, you give them some peas, and they give somebody else some meat, and they give you potatoes, and you have a meal.
That's right.
That's how society works. There's no reason for us to be going along the road we're going along. And the part that really knocks me out isn't the people who still stand there and think that Barack Obama is the chosen one, that he is the anointed one, that he rode here from Chicago. He rode to Washington on a cloud, you know, with Rahm Emanuel on one side and Eric Holder on the other side on other clouds with little harps, like, you know, the Annunciation of the Anointed. There are people who believe that. That's not the part that bugs me. You know, you see them out there on social media. You see them out there on some of the blogs, you know, posting comments. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Barack Obama this, Barack Obama that, Barack Obama the next thing. That's not the part that bothers me. The part that bothers me is the dead elephant. The people who do know that this is wrong and don't do anything to fix it. Oh, they talk a good game. They go back to their constituents and they say, oh, well, we're going to deal with this bill to create jobs.
Well,
you know, we've got unemployment of, what is it, it's 7-something?
Well, that's what they report, but they think it's actually around.
Oh, yes, I know that, but let's just use the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
7.3, I don't know.
7.3. So tell me why people are still telling us that the answer to this is more immigration?
I don't know. And we have more Republicans that are signing on to that. The amnesty bill.
So we've got people, able-bodied American citizens, born, bred, raised, and having already worked.
And
let alone the ones that need a first job.
Yeah, and they're all out of work right now.
They're all out of work. And we need to bring in more. And I'm not just talking about, you know, people coming across the Rio Grande. I'm talking about people with A3 visas. You mean to tell me that we don't have enough innovative computer engineers that we have to bring them from the BRIC nations?
I know. And I don't understand that at all. We don't need them. We really don't. And because there are many people that are now unemployed because a lot of the high-tech companies have cut back and defense contractors that have cut back. And they've laid off all these people. These people are looking for jobs. We do not need these people.
They've also moved their headquarters offshore, so they don't have to pay much attention to that.
But, well, you know, the thing is that you have people like Marco Rubio and now Paul Ryan in the House who is supporting this. And that SOB, excuse me, I mean, this man, I thought we had some, I thought he had some common sense. At a quote-unquote bilingual meeting, he went and said that, yes, you know, we have to support this amnesty bill because we have to have all these people here to take the jobs that Americans don't. It's like, excuse me?
Let me toss a piece of trivia out there.
What?
Did you know that there is only one First Lady of the United States of America who won an Emmy?
Excuse me? Who?
Ah, there's your trivia. Jackie Kennedy on NASA's. She won an Emmy, a special Emmy, for her Spanish ad for JFK.
Are you kidding? I had no idea.
Yes, she won an Emmy for that.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. Wow.
But, so you brought that to mind with the Paul Ryan issue. You know, but you're right. We had hoped, against hope, for a glimmer of hope out of Paul Ryan.
Yeah, we did.
And I guess he just turned off the lights.
I don't know if he turned off the lights or the Democrats have something on him.
Follow the money.
Just like Rubio.
If there ain't any money, follow the skeletons.
That's what I'm thinking. Skeletons. There's a skeleton in the closet he doesn't want taken out. Who cares? You know what he should say to them? Go ahead, put it out. I don't care.
How much worse can it be than Anthony Weiner?
Oh my God, Weiner. I mean, his campaign manager just quit.
Well, you know,
and to show how bad it is.
The part that's a hoot is he said the people said it's texting. No, it's just his avatar. I mean, look at his name.
Oh my God! You know what? I have. Wait a minute. And I have to check because I never ever asked her. But I have a friend from college whose maiden name was Weiner. I have to ask her if she's related because she's from New York. Oh my God! I hope not.
But anyway, the idea is. You know, so what? I mean, I've said it.
Weiner's mentally unbalanced.
Compared to who? Pelosi?
The Democrats, they're going to be mentally
unbalanced. Sheila Jackson Lee?
Sweetie, they're Democrats. They're going to be mentally unbalanced. It has been proven, and I have to find this article again.
Yeah, I've seen the article.
Okay.
That you know, and
if somebody is a Democrat or a liberal, it's been like, God, I forget how long it's been.
I think it was Glenn Beck that said, liberalism is a mental disorder.
It is. It has to be. Oh my gosh. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I mean, listen, Pelosi, man, I sit there and I watch, I look at her.
Savage.
I mean, the woman is absolutely psychotic. I mean, she is. She is psychotic. And then the Weiner, I mean, he's taking pictures of, I mean, my gosh. I mean, talk about somebody who is taking their last name literally. I mean,
that's what I said. It's his avatar.
I know. It's just like,
it's not a picture. It's his avatar.
But the picture that he sent this woman, wait a minute. What was her name? What's her name? Her last name is Leathers.
Who cares?
But anyway, it was of his private part. I just like, are you kidding me? But anyway, Axelrod, David Axelrod even says he's finished. Get out.
He's done. Stick a fork in him.
But then his wife, wait a minute, we got to bring this up. Huma, what the hell is her name?
Huma.
Her mother's part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Did you know that?
I was aware there was a connection.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why is she married a Jew? I have no clue.
No idea. But, you know, who else? I mean, come on.
Where is this baby that they said she was?
Look at Hillary. Married. Look at, you know.
That's the thing. She's following in Hillary's footsteps.
Exactly, because I wouldn't be terribly surprised to find out that Hillary's part of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh, my God. I don't know. But this woman, Hillary's another one.
So you got Weiner, and you got that other fellow from New York. What's his name? Resigned in disgrace.
Oh, Elliot Spitzer.
And then you've got people like Lautenberg.
Oh, he's dead.
Okay, I get that. But, you know, before he was dead, he was no better.
Well, then don't forget there's Gerald Nader from New York. I mean,
okay. You know what, though? We're showing our roots. We're too metropolitan area for this now. We're, but the idea is that, you know, this is what we're up against. You know, I'm sorry. How anyone can declare themselves a Republican in you know, the big building down there on the other end of the reflecting pool. Mm-hmm. And deal with people like Maxine Waters and Sheila Jackson Lee and not at least go up to the podium with their 5 minutes and avoid falling down, rolling on the floor, laughing hysterically.
But you see, my problem was I would look at them and say, you're an idiot. Do you know that? You're an absolute idiot.
Yeah, well, you know.
I would, because you know why? At my advanced age right now, which I just had a birthday, and I won't mention
it. Oh, happy birthday.
No, thank you. Thank you. But I've had it with people. I really have. And those are people that I've really, you know, because because I'm more intelligent than they are. I know I am. I know I am. And to have these people in a place of being able to dictate how my life goes really pisses me off.
Well, that's the part that really, this is where, you know, we get the kind of government we deserve, you know.
Yeah, but I didn't vote for her. I didn't vote. I mean, you know, I mean, geez Louise. I mean.
But where, how does a person like that get elected?
Because,
well,
okay.
Money.
Go ahead.
Whether it comes from Soros or whether it comes from big labor or wherever it comes from. Well, I guess there's an equivocation there. But anyway. You know, no matter where it comes from, it's money. And it's not just that there's money involved. It's small money.
That's right.
You know, we talked about this recently.
Go ahead. Go on this because I know I told
it's,
you have to talk
it's
about
not,
it.
It's not the $35,000 a plate reception. Of course it is. But hear this out.
It's what they do with
the
it.
The $35,000 reception goes up. And where does that $35,000 from a plate go? Well, it goes into a 1,000 $35 gift cards or 2,000 $20 gift cards that the apparatchiks at the grassroots level hand out. It goes into track phone cards. It goes into Walmart gift card. Not disparaging Walmart here. They don't care where the money goes when they sell a gift card.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is the money goes back downhill. And there's your issue. When the right puts together a $35,000 a plate gala, they start buying intensely expensive, and I honestly believe they get charged differently than left wing do. You know, what a Republican buy for $1 million, mm-hmm, a Democrat gets for $500,000. It's the way the media, you know, elite work. The thing is, they take it and they buy these ads on you know, the networks for more money than the left pays, and then that's it. Whereas the left takes what's left over after buying the ad and buys all those $20 gift cards and gets down into the neighborhoods and hands them back out.
That's right. Yep.
What we expect to get by limiting the government, by increasing personal responsibility, by all of the ethos that we claim to have, is a net gain over the course of time for ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, our seed breeding generation. Mm-hmm. What the opposite side expects is $20 right here, right now.
Yeah. The thing is, and these people don't expect things like this throughout their lives because they don't have a lot of education. They don't, you know, they don't go out there and make money. They're on the dole. So to them, this is a bonus. And they say, oh, gee, the Democrat Party gave it to me. I'm going to vote for whoever, you know?
Exactly. And I mean all the way down to dog catcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that simple. And then get in a van, we'll give you a ham sandwich and a beer, and we'll take you to the next polling place and do the same thing.
That's right.
And we don't counterpunch.
No, we
don't. We stand there in our clean shoes, our clean pants, our clean shirt with our clean hands and say, we're above that. And to prove it, we're going to take our clean hand and reach across the aisle. So I said the other day, why is it that bipartisanship, if the left agrees with the right, is, you know, bipartisan progress, whereas if the right, you know, walks away from the left, then it's bipartisan bickering.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yeah. It's only called bipartisanship if the right caves to what the left wants.
Exactly. Yeah. Other than if they don't, then it's bickering.
Yes,
or it's,
that's true.
You know, whatever you want to title it. But the idea is, and we don't say anything about that.
No, you see, the problem is,
Boehner doesn't stand up and say, what the hell are you talking about?
No, Boehner, and I swear to God, these mainstream Republicans, these elites, that, you know, they're of the opinion that, gee, it's still a gentleman's game. You know, politics is still a gentleman's game. It hasn't been that way since the damn 60s. Grow up, Republican Party. The Democrats are now communists.
The elephant is dead. The rhino is roaming the plains, but it's our job with a lion to take out those rhinos.
Exactly. Let me just bring up a comparison.
Factoid time.
I have to. When the Russian Revolution occurred, only about 25 to 30% of the people believed in the revolution. Okay, so the Reds had to get out there and try and get more and more people over to their way of thinking and into their camp. So what they would do is start these bread lines and these fantastic mottos about, you know, the country, bread, people, you know, all of us together, doing it all together. I mean, they would get out there and try and get the working people, those actually the peasants more than anything else, because in Russia, there was no quote-unquote middle class. So
No, there wasn't. So they had to
deal with and try to attract those, the peasants and everything, and try and get them on their side. You know, so that's what's happening here. They are giving money. They are getting out these snappy slogans to all the people out there that have nothing or don't expect much out of life, because they have been told throughout their lives that you're nothing and without us,
without the
government. Exactly.
And on top of that, I mean, don't forget all the partisans, once they got in, the first thing they did was start the black markets.
That's right.
The other thing to keep in mind, and this is where, you know, people need to understand our history, is the fact that, you know, our revolution didn't have 100% support either.
That's right. Exactly. I don't think a lot of people know that.
You know, I don't remember the numbers, but our revolution did not have 100% support. There were Tories.
I think it was about 30 to 35%. It was a low number. It was a low number.
And the problem was, and I think this is a problem we face the same way our founders did. The problem is that the Tories and the undecideds among them, independents among them, among the population, rather, not among the Tories.
Right.
We're all about the status quo. They didn't have any problem with the way things were. It's like, it doesn't affect me.
That's right. That was
we got to send more tax to King George, you know. So we'll work a little harder. We'll, you know, brew a little more beer. We'll, you know, knock out some more silver or tin or whatever we hit, and, you know, with a hammer, and we'll make some more cannons and gunpowder and all these things, and we'll send it off to King George. And we'll be fine. And we'll be just fine. And this is what we're up against.
That's true.
This is what we're up against, except for one minor difference.
And?
In those days, they could turn to the people working for them and say, we've got to send more to King George, so we've got to work a little harder, and we've got to send more to King George. In this day and age, that undecisiveness is more pervasive because the collectivists either already own or are working diligently to own the production output. by virtue of big labor.
That's right, unions.
Yeah. By virtue of, legally inhibiting, business creation, expansion, progress. By virtue of the anti-business climate that's pervasive, and I mean all the way from here in Maine up to D.C. and back, and big labor, it's not a question of saying, well, we got to send more to King George. Now it's a question we have to send more to King Barack.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are we going to work harder because we've just laid off half the workforce and you are now part-time.
Yep.
But whatever you do earn is going to be hit harder.
That's right. Yes. Higher taxes.
To send even more.
Yep.
To King Barack.
That's right.
Because he needs it.
To redistribute.
To redistribute. Well, maybe the time has come for Americans who are working or who used to be working and aren't now to sit there and say, no, I don't want a third year extension on my unemployment benefits. No, I don't want an EBT card. I want a job.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want an EBT card. No, I don't want, a stipend because I'm down to part-time. No, I don't want your quote-unquote free health care. I want my job back. I want my 40 hours. And on top of that, when I'm done at the end of the day on Friday and they hand me my paper with the numbers on it, I want it to be mine.
That's right.
Maybe the time has come to turn and say, as a charitable nation, the most charitable nation on the planet, maybe the time has come to say, all those government buildings that are sitting there idle, maybe that's the place to take people who are out on the street. Maybe that's the place to take kids that were abused and having been in a position to see such things at one point in the late 70s, early 80s, ladies
those
and gentlemen, you don't know abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about somebody who they killed their kid, okay. You hear about somebody who, two or three kids starved to death. And that's a doggone shame in our country that anybody should be hungry. But you don't know abuse. You don't know the things that crack mamas and baby daddies can do to children. You don't know the things that men can do to women the way I do. And there's no reason for it. We've had the libertarians say, we've had this 40-something year war on drugs and it hasn't worked. Because you prosecuted the war incorrectly. It's because you take guys on the street corner with a dime bag of dope and you throw them in prison for 3 years.
Yeah. And somebody takes his place.
Or worse, you catch a guy with a key of dope and you put him in prison for 5 years. He comes out and because you rehabilitated him,
yeah.
So now he's a little bit smarter about how to hide his kilo of dope. And you put him in prison again, this time for 5, 6, 7 years. Good behavior, you let him out in 3 to 5. Okay, now he gets out and he's even more bitter and more hardened. He comes out and next time you find him with a key of dope, you give him life.
Yeah.
Wrong. You take some of those 25 million rounds of ammunition that you've bought for Homeland Security and the IRS and anybody else, and you give them to the Coast Guard and you say, have at it, boys.
Yeah, I'm getting to the point where our prisons are too crowded with repeat offenders, and something has to be done.
I saw a special, I don't know if you call it a special anymore, some documentary that I was watching, and it showed recidivism,
yeah.
But it showed recidivism in a new light. It showed it not as a mechanism of hardcore criminal behavior. It showed it as somebody saying, if I commit the crime the third time, I go back to prison and I can stay there for the rest of my life.
So basically, they're looking at it as a support system.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the same kind of support system that group homes used to have. You know, they take these people in the progressive infinite wisdom, they decided it was beneath the dignity of the mentally ill to be quote-unquote warehoused in asylums.
Yeah.
And yes, right. I remember the Willowbrook and the, you know, all these other things. I remember this. I do. I'm old enough to remember this stuff.
Oh, I remember Willowbrook, yeah.
Yes, there were problems. Yes, there were abuses. Yes, there were weird people in charge, the inmates running the asylum. I get that. But it's beneath their dignity to be warehoused, but it's not beneath their dignity to be unwashed, unkempt, sleeping on subway grates.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
And then you take these people and they're drug addicted and you bring them in and you clean them up in their 21 days that the government gives you to do it. And you give them a couple of bottles of prescription medication and a little scheduled chart on when to take them. And 3 days after they run out of pills, where are they?
Yeah, back to the same place where they were before all this started.
And that's why I'm saying recidivism sometimes is a cry out for a support structure. A support structure that the liberals took away from them because they're still being warehoused.
Yeah, see, the thing is, though, is that the liberals, what they do is they take these guys off the streets, they give them the pills, and then what they do is they pat themselves on the back and said, oh, look what I did. I helped these people out. And
exactly.
They let them out on the street, and there's no follow-up.
There's no follow-up because there's no funding for the follow-up because they turn them loose, they give them these pills, which they either throw away...
Or sell for booze.
Sell for, you know, a bottle of Wild Irish Rose.
You got it.
You know, Night Train or Mad Dog, whatever it is. I don't know if they still make any of those, so pardon me. But, you know, and or they don't take them, or they don't take them correctly.
Yeah, I know.
Or they, you know, lose them. And then they're supposed to report for a follow-up appointment they don't go to because they don't remember because they threw away their papers or list or whatever and their pills they don't know where they are, let alone where they're supposed to be.
Exactly.
And they wander back up and down the street mumbling with a shopping cart full of, you know,
who knows,
garbage.
Yeah.
And they sleep on a subway grate where they get picked up and they get put back in the program for 21 days.
Yep.
These issues that we need to face as a people.
Yep.
Law and order is a good thing.
Yep. Do you remember when Rudy Giuliani was elected to be the mayor of New York City?
Oh, yeah.
And what he did was, do you remember what he did?
The very first thing he did was outlaw the window washers.
That's right. He started really small. The small things he started.
And he insisted he was going to clean up Times Square.
He did.
Yes, he did.
He did. And New York was actually a wonderful place to go to. My mother used to want to go into New York City, and after he became mayor and started cleaning it up, she used to go in all the time because we live right across the river from New York. Okay, and she said that everything was just so wonderful and clean, and there were police all over the place. And
that wasn't Lindsay. That wasn't Beam.
No,
and
it wasn't Dinkins either.
Oh, well, Dinkins, I don't even know.
Oh, God, please, that was a disaster.
I don't even consider him a real mayor. I think he's just sitting there keeping this chair warm.
Oh, for heaven's sake, he was an idiot. He went over, I remember one time where a cop was shot and killed, and he went over to the guy who killed him, the family. He went over to the family and consoled them. It's like, what? Excuse me, what the hell? But anyway, no, but Rudy Giuliani started out small. He said, you know, if we stop the small crime, you know, it will not have a tendency to go. And it did. It worked.
Not only did it work, but when the small crime was under control, the NYPD had the time and resources to take on big crime.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. And so this just falls into play. I mean, that there is a perfect example of what you were just talking about, you know?
Yes, it's a perfect example. If I had to point to something as an example, there it is.
There it is, yeah.
And, you know, look, I don't have anything against the people at all of the Salvation Army and the American Friends Rescue Committee.
No, not at all, no.
They're doing, you know, God's work.
They are.
And but I'd like, believe it or not, I'd like to see them out of business. And I don't mean because I have something against them because they're Christian organizations. I'd like to see them out of business because there's nothing else for them to do.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, no, you're right. But the thing is that we're into this, you know, this cutesy, feely, you know, good feely stuff by the liberals
leftover,
and everything.
Leftover hippies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leftover hippies. And,
unfortunately, the hippies from the 60s are now in charge.
That's the problem. And yep. all those guys and gals of my generation and slightly before and slightly after that got their deferments by going to teachers' college all went and got to be teachers. And then after they were teachers, they became principals and administrators and professors and deans and chancellors of the school district, school board, county college, state college, you know, Ivy League.
Mm-hmm.
Ivy League universities hiring terrorists from the Weather Underground.
There you go.
For the Black Panther Party.
There you go.
I don't have the luxury of having a kid in a school.
Thank God.
That.
Thank God.
I don't have the, well, that and I don't have the ability at this point yet to turn around and say to the board of a university, what on earth are you pumping through the ventilation ducts of this room? What's in the water here? I'm dead. Are you dead?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, okay. I thought you were...
You said something and it hit me funny, and I'm wondering, what, is Debbie pregnant?
God, no.
Oh, okay. The way you said yet, I was like, wait a minute. I don't have the luxury yet.
No, the luxury yet is meaning that once the lion, once the lion gets up to where he can do some good, then... People like us who feel disenfranchised enough to not go to the board of university and say, what is it you think you're teaching my kid?
Yeah, no, exactly.
That's costing me $110,000 a semester?
Mm-hmm.
What is it you think that you're teaching my kid that's costing me $20,000 a semester? What is it you think you're that's costing me... $50 a semester.
Yep.
I'm sorry, these parents who, and don't get me started on this sidebar, but listen, okay. All these parents who couldn't get to the polls in time, who believe what we believe, but couldn't get to the polls in time because Susie had violin and Johnny had hockey and Tommy had soccer, and Janie had ballet.
Okay.
And you got to take the minivan out, and it's raining, and we got to get dinner together, so we prepare our microwaved GMO food.
Yeah, okay.
And sit down in front of the tube at the end of the day with your husband and wife, too tired to enjoy each other's company. So you click on the mainstream media news and you sit there and you curse at it, but you didn't go to the poll.
That's right. Yep. A lot of people didn't go to the poll. But you know what? Because there's the Democratic candidate who is the typical Democratic candidate. And then there is the Republican candidate who just mirrors the Democratic candidate.
And I'm going to localize this a little bit again.
Okay.
Over here in Maine, oh, we were all so happy. Oh, my goodness. The day Paula Page took office,
mm-hmm.
we're so happy. Oh, my goodness. We all worked for him. We all, you know, standing in front of the supermarkets. We all did, you know, phone campaigns. We all did email campaigns. We all did everything we could to get him elected, and he got elected, and we all sat there the day we opened up the internet, or the day we picked up the Portland Press Herald, or as it's known over here, the Portland Pravda.
Oh, geez.
And the Maine Sunday Telegram, which is known as the Maine Sunday Tass. The, you know,
oh my God.
We picked it up, and right there on the front page was the governor holding up this sign that was getting mounted on the signage down on the turnpike, welcome to Maine, and then it was, you know, put underneath there, open for business. Oh, we were all so happy about that. Till we found out that basically that sign was nothing but a right-sided Obama phone.
Oh, no.
It was like, here I am, those of you who voted for me, here I am, Republican constituency, I'm all about jobs. I'm all about, you know, bringing industry back to Maine. I'm all about, you know, small business creation, this, that, and the other thing. And it was a bone. It was the same thing as an Obama phone. It was the same thing as an EBT card.
Okay.
Just the other side of the aisle.
What did he run as? What was his party affiliation? Well,
he ran as a Republican.
Oh, God. There you go. Right there. There you go.
And it's like, you know, okay, yes, we had 44 years of Democrat rule, a lot of which couldn't be undone as quickly as a lot of people would like, but there hasn't been the growth that we expected. There hasn't been the overturning of all these laws categorically to try and increase business.
He's a rhino.
What did we get? We got a casino. What did we get? We got some call centers at whatever the minimum wage is, and everybody's part-time. They don't get benefits or insurance or any of that stuff. What did we get? What did we get? Oh, well, you know, you got, 150 jobs here and 225 jobs there and 300 jobs there. They're all part-time. They're all part-time. These people are working, you know, 20 hours at minimum wage. How are you going to feed a family on that? Where's the manufacturing jobs? Where are the full-time jobs? Where are the small businesses opening up? Because if you've got a small business opening up and you can employ somebody for minimum wage, that's not how you feed a family. That's how you spend your time in a summer between high school and college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's how you spend your last year of high school in a work-study program.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you spend your gap year. That's what that's for. That's not for feeding a family. That's not for paying a mortgage or making a car payment. That's what enterprise, industry, business, whatever tag you want to use, that's its job. What's the government's hand in all this? Nothing. Get mm-hmm. it back out of it.
That's true. Yep. The more government is in it, the more they screw it up.
Any candidate for anything that says his platform is for job creation
run.
Should be run away from at full tilt boogie.
Yeah, run. I agree.
Because it's not any government officials' job to create jobs.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Free market does it.
The free market does all of it.
Yes. Yes.
Privatization. You know, we saw that the Postal Service is in trouble again. The Postal Service is in trouble. It can't operate effectively, you know, and do all the things it's supposed to do, which, you know, it... You would think, considering the numbers, because of the fact that a lot of small business takes advantage of things like priority mail, expedited mail, things like that, to the tune of 2 and 3 times FedEx and UPS and all these other ones combined, you would think it wouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But they increased the postage, increased the postage, increased the postage, and they're saying, oh, we're losing money, we're losing money, we're losing money. But we have $20 million to put an ad for the Postal Service in the Super Bowl.
But you know what, too? The thing is that the postal workers have a really nice, cushy retirement.
And always and have, benefits, since yes. they unionized.
Yep, they're unionized.
And, you know, how can they come up with however much money it is, and don't quote me, because I don't follow NASCAR. How is it they have enough money to sponsor anything in NASCAR?
I know.
But they're losing money. Yeah. You don't need a commercial.
That's right.
You're the Postal Service.
I know. People are either going to use you or they're going to... I mean, come on, guys. Let's get serious here. I mean, you know...
Why not? Not for nothing, but I'll carry that a little further. Why are there commercials for the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard?
Because it's a volunteer force now.
Well, but that's grand. That's fine. That's great. You know, that's what they have recruiters for.
Yeah.
But it's not looking at the Army. It's like, oh, join the Army. Here's a 30-second commercial, whatever it costs to produce it and get it played and all that stuff.
No, you're right, you're right.
It's not like you have a choice. It's not like the Postal Service. Well, you know, we have the United States Army, but we also have Fred's Army in competition with it. You know, or you know, United Army Co. Inc., you know, proprietary. You know, it's not like there's a competition.
I know, yeah, you're right. You're right, you're right. I know. That's it.
$10.
There's only one United States Army. That's it. Yes.
We can't afford to put a hot meal in a Marine's hand in Afghanistan.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
How many of those hot meals would $100 million buy?
I know.
More than one platoon's worth, I'm thinking.
Gosh, yeah. Are you kidding? Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't know what a pack of MREs, I mean, I know what I can buy them retail for, but I don't know what they cost the government. And here's a hoot. You can buy surplus MREs from many places on the internet. Just Google it. You can buy them from all kinds of... Why are there surplus?
That's what I was going to say. Why are there surplus MREs, for God's sake? Shouldn't they be...
I mean, it's not even like, well, they went out of code... Some of these things still have 8, 10, 12 years on their date code.
Yeah,
what
see, that's...
surplus MREs, and we've got guys over there and girls over there that aren't eating right?
No, I agree.
These are examples. Look, I'm in favor of a business being started to produce food for our troops. No two ways about it. But when these government contracts come through... And people made their money and actually have enough to be able to sell to the retail market because they made too many. What?
Yeah. No.
What?
Yeah. No, I agree. You're right.
We paid the company to make them, and then they not only got what they were promised by the government, but now they have extra to sell. Wait a minute. Who's running this show?
Yeah, what's wrong with this picture?
Mousy.
Yeah. Yeah. What's wrong with this picture? Yes.
Yeah, I remember when recycling started in New Jersey. I did, and I'm a recycler. You know I am.
Yes.
You know, I actually put up a stink in one store that wouldn't take my capsule fluorescent lights.
Oh.
Saying you've got a sign on your door saying recycle them here. Well, we don't really do that. We just throw them away.
What?
I went nuts. I went crazy cuckoo nuts.
Recycle them here, but they throw them away. Oh,
same
my
thing
God.
The lithium-ion batteries from power tools. Oh, we just throw them away. I went nuts.
I love it.
Right, but I remember when recycling hit New Jersey.
Oh, my. But, you know, it's a freaking... It is... I let me tell you something. It's a nightmare down there. It really is.
Listen, there's two things, two words you can use. One is garbage, and the other one is cement. In the state of New Jersey, if you look in either of those industries and you don't find the mafia, you don't have your glasses on.
That's true. Yes. No, you're right. You're right.
When they started recycling in New Jersey, you had to pay your garbage man to take your glass, which had to be sorted, red, brown, green, blue,
right.
clear, all this other stuff. You had to pay your trash man to take it. where you had to buy coupons from your town to use their bulk facility to get rid of it. And then it was sold by the garbage men to companies that would recycle the glass. Now, is that the mafia or what?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You got to pay me to take it from you, and then I've got it. Now you got to pay me to get it.
That's right.
Now, this is the problem. The problem isn't the fact that the mafia is running it.
Mm-mm.
We'd do better if they were. The problem is we've got the government running it who thinks they're the mafia, and they're not. They're not even good at being the mafia.
That's right. That's right. They're not. They have no clue. No clue. No clue. No, you're right. I agree with you completely, Lou. They don't. The government is a bunch of bumbling fools.
And that's what needs to change. With people constantly, every election cycle, bring up term limits, term limits, term limits.
It's not going to work.
You know, when we first started this government, we didn't need term limits because guys who were elected to do something when they were done with their term wanted to get back home.
That's true.
There, I did my 4 years, my 2 years, my 6 years. I did it. Now I'm going home. Even George Washington. I want to get back down there. I want to get back to Mount Vernon and grow my tobacco and distill my whiskey.
That's right.
Thomas Jefferson. I want to get back to Monticello. I want to get back to my winery and my, you know, whatever else
just
he was
everything.
In. You know, all these people. That's what they wanted. They wanted to get back to their business, back to their life. Now,
they make life. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yep.
You know, you always see, you know, people talk about term limits, and then, of course, every election cycle, you see the bumper sticker come out. Re-elect nobody.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with re-electing someone. There really isn't. But it's got to be somebody doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be somebody who's doing what his constituents want. And I've said this before. We outnumber the left. Admittedly, by 3-1. Numerically, there shouldn't be an issue in an election.
That's right.
But yet, here we go. Oh, this is what the constituency wants. No, that's what the people you pandered to want. That's what the people you carried from pole to pole in a van with a ham sandwich and a beer want. That's what you're up against the people who know better, who don't have time because they have jobs and kids, don't want. But don't get off their duff, roll up their sleeve, put their muck boots on, and go out and get.
Yeah, but they don't have the time because they're too busy working harder so they can pay the higher taxes. All right? Now, whereas the Democrats, they can fine all these people because they're already on the dole, or they're doing nothing, or they're the wino on the corner, or the drug addict.
The people who will listen to this podcast and say, Amory's right. Lou's right. We got to do something.
What do we do? I don't know what to do. I really don't. Well,
but the thing is, even if we tell them what to do, they're not going to do it. They don't have time.
Nobody has time because we're the ones that are working, and they're taking the taxes out of us, and they're handing it over to those people who don't work.
So all across...
And we're lost. So the only thing we can do at this point is go galt.
So all the 13 originals, all those guys who didn't have time because they had a field to plow, a crop to get in, or this, that, and the other thing, when that bell in Town Square got rung, they said, to hell with it, I'm out here, I'm busy, I don't have time. All those people up there by Bunker Hill and in Vincennes and all these places, the bell went, Paul Revere Road, all these things, they said, I don't have time for that.
No, they didn't.
Then why do we?
Because the people have been educated to believe that we, you and I, and those of us that live the Constitution and agree with us, they have been trained to believe that we're wrong. And unfortunately, there are a heck of a lot more to them now.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
Yes, there are. But isn't that the point? Isn't that the point? When I was asked on social media, well, Lou, do you have a platform? No. I have a piece of parchment.
Yeah. It is a piece of parchment. It's the Constitution. And yes, oh, well, we should go back
about
to
the, what platform would you like anybody that believes in what you believe in?
The Constitution. No, I agree with you.
I don't need a platform. I don't need planks. I don't need nails. I have a piece of parchment here that's all you need.
I know. I, you know, but the only way we're going to do this is to get a whole bunch of conservatives together and people who are already in Congress, and get them together and say, hey, guess what? We have formed a third party. This is it.
I am going to, very soon, I am going to get that manifest written. I am going to get it written as clear, concise, and eloquent. Don't be surprised if it's less than a page.
It shouldn't be, you know, 25 or 30 pages because,
nope.
You know, how many pages was the Constitution, for God's sake?
But
Declaration of Independence.
I'm telling everybody that's listening, and I'm going to tell everybody that reads it, copy it.
Yeah.
Paste it and send it where you think it will do any good.
Yep, I'll do it.
And if you copy it and paste it and send it to some government agency with initials and they show up at my door, we'll talk when they get here.
Okay, I agree. So, hey, I got a question for you. And we can't do it today, but when are we going to talk about an essay?
No, we can't do it today.
I know you're already spent. I know. But so I think basically we have been, it's been a while, folks, and we're here, and we're doing it again. We're going to try and make sure we do this on a regular basis. So,
I'm getting stronger every day. So,
yeah, he looks it. I'll be honest with you. You know,
unless flak jackets and helmets appear at my door.
Hey, you're not the only one.
What? Chuckle all you want.
Barry's chuckling. Yes. No. They may chuckle at me too. I mean, they may show up at my door too. I mean, for heaven's sake, you know, you never know.
Well, the thing is, if they don't show up, I'll keep talking.
That's it. There you go. So.
And I don't mind being this, you know, still small voice in the wilderness.
No. Nope.
I really don't.
Sometimes.
Because I'm not putting a bushel over my candle, baby.
Nope. And I agree. So, this is it. We're going to wind this one up because it's been a while.
We're going to wind this one up.
Yep, it's time. And thanks for joining us. If you listen, if there's anybody out there that still listens to us, I know we've been gone a while.
Now that I'm up and around, I'm going to go back to promoting it and see what I can get.
Okay.
Next week, we'll arrange what time. Again, remember, I got my brother up for the weekend next week.
Okay, well.
We will find time, whether it's immediately before or after the weekend, or even during, you know, if I've got the time.
Okay.
You know, when your schedule allows.
I'm pretty open. You're the one with the guests coming up, so.
And I'll get with it, and we'll keep after it. Though, you know, we did have a couple of good runs there for a bunch of weeks, but.
Yep.
Hopefully, as I said, I'm getting stronger every day. So.
Yep.
So anyway, thanks again, folks, for listening. You can look forward to hearing more from Amory and myself. And thanks to our engineer, Barry. And God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.